Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to the first 2019 episode of Stalking Time for the Moon Boys. It's me, David Baddiel.
Hello, David. Oh, is that wrong?
No, that's fine.
Too hasty.
No, regular listeners will know that we often have a slight awkwardness with the introduction of my co-host.
Hello, David.
Tim Hinks. For a long period, I tried a thing which didn't really work. Of saying, and here with me is my co-host, and then I thought Tim would say, Tim Hinks, but he sort of didn't like doing that.
No, you said, you didn't say, what if you said co-host, it'd be all right. I think you said compatriot or something.
Well, once I said compatriot.
Co-patriot.
Oh, yeah, I said co-patriot, yeah. But there was another time I think I just paused for you to say, and it's me, Tim Hinks, in a kind of two Ronnie's way.
Right.
And you didn't
right.
say that either.
No.
So it's always been slightly uncertain. About the introduction, and it led me to think about something which I just thought about right now.
Yeah, wow.
Which I'm going to tell you now, and it might upset you.
Okay.
Like, we're going to begin the first one with something that might
wow.
upset you. But and people who know me well will know that I can't really keep anything to myself.
No.
And this is something I've kept for you for maybe 2 years.
Oh, Christ.
Which is, you live in Kew.
I do.
You say that, don't you? Very nice street.
Don't narrow
Kew.
It down.
It's a lovely street in Kew. And I was doing my radio show. I used to do a radio show, which I think the BBC have cancelled, as far as I can make out. They said, there don't seem to be any noises about doing a new series.
David Bowie tries to understand.
David Bowie tries to understand. Yes,
that's what they replaced it with.
I do.
I'm sorry to tell you that.
Yeah, David Bowie, in many ways, I think, never tried to understand. I think he always felt he understood everything.
I've never clicked. So sorry, not only is David Bowie is a bit like David Bowie, isn't it? His
no.
name. You're both David Bees.
Well, yeah.
Have you ever thought
true.
About that?
I've thought about... one thing I've thought about, perhaps we should try it now, although it might be upsetting for me, is if you put David Buh into Google,
okay.
how long does it take to get to Baddiel? I assume Bowie's on top of me, I assume Beckham's on top of me, but I'll be quite upset if Blaine is.
So I'm going to Google...
David Buh. So see if Bowie's
okay.
on top of me.
Do you think David... If David Byrne is ahead of you, really got problems.
I think, yeah. Is there any other really, really like low-rent David Buh that we can think of that would be disappointing?
No, there's a good one. There's one we haven't thought of, which is an obvious one. So the top searches are David B, because that's what I put in.
Yeah.
David Bowie, because that's good.
That's the first one,
yeah.
is it?
So Bowie, Beckham,
yeah.
David Blaine.
Yeah, Blaine.
David Byrne.
Yeah.
And annoyingly for you, you're currently not, it's David Brooks.
Oh, what is he? Just an estate agent.
I'll tell you who David Brooks is. David Brooks is a footballer.
Oh, a footballer. Okay.
Plays for Bournemouth.
Oh, my God. I'm below a Bournemouth footballer. Well, actually, have I turned up at all?
Well, so if I go back to God, this is...
No, this is quite good because I've got something slightly upsetting for you to do to do with almost a similar thing, to do with your name. So this, I think, is quite good that I'm being humiliated here.
Why is it not giving me... So, I mean, there's David Beauchar, who's... I mean, I've got to tell you, you're not...
I'm not on the list.
We're now into David B. Anthony from Imperial College, who's a research technician in the Department of Chemical
Engineering.
Are you
writing my name correctly?
No, well, no, I'm writing David B.
What if you go for A?
David A?
David B. A. Do I get...
Oh, I see. I see what you mean. Okay, David... Yes. You get...
What if you go for Baddiel? Do I come up then?
If you go... No, you're in. David B. A. is... Yeah, you're beaten by David Baldacci.
Yeah, okay.
Then it's David Banner... Then it's David Baddiel.
Banner? Who's he?
David Banner is a research technician. No, is better known by his... Oh, no, he's called Leslie Crump. Better known by his alias David Banner. I don't think so.
Leslie Crump.
He's a rapper.
He's a rapper.
Is what he's called. There he is. He's an American rapper.
Yeah, looks a bit like
Born Lavelle William Crump. And the first time we mentioned him on this podcast.
Okay, well, we should perhaps listen to him in a bit, Lavelle William Crump.
His songs David include Banner. Like a Pimp, okay. Get Like Me, and Cadillac on 22s.
Okay, so I was doing my radio show, David Baddiel Tries to Understand, and we were doing it. Someone had asked a question about nuts, about why nuts have got a hard shell. You do remember, that's good that you
remember that you were doing about nuts.
And me and my producer had gone to Kew Gardens to investigate that. And we were late getting back to, had to get back to the BBC. And so we were walking quite fast to get to Kew Station. And then suddenly you were in the garden of your house, I think with one of your children, saying hello.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, Tim, I couldn't remember your name.
No, that's
this is what happened. This was a couple of years ago. It's a couple of years ago now. We weren't as close as we are now. And I just thought...
I don't mind that at all.
I just thought, oh, God, I need to introduce him. I can't remember. For the life of me, I can't remember his name. Now, did you pick that up at the time?
Not at all. I thought it was going to be something horrendous.
No, that's what it was.
No, I didn't pick...
Well, it would have been quite horrendous at the time for me to say... Because if you remember, I had my producer with me.
Yeah, I remember.
And I did say, which is completely true, sorry, we can't stop.
Yes.
Because we have to get in a rush, which was absolutely true. But I was also saying that because I thought, if we do stop, I will have to say, you know, this is what...
No, you'd have to wait for me, which is what I do sometimes, wait for that person to introduce themselves.
Yes.
So you introduce the person you know to the person whose name you can't remember.
Yes. Well, I can remember his name. His name is Giles.
But you would say, hey, this is Giles.
Yeah.
And then I would say, oh, hi, I'm Tim.
No, but that would have been... If I'd said, hey, this is Giles...
What are you going to say? Oh,
I mean, obviously, that means I've forgotten your name.
Well, I'm glad, because what you've forgotten... is I was with Otis, my son, and I think
I remembered his name.
Right.
But not yours.
And I said, Otis, this is David Beauchard from Imperial College, who's doing some extraordinary work on bonding, covalent bonds.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you didn't hear.
Yeah. So there we go. I'm glad I got that off my chest.
Oh, no, that's fine.
It's been bothering
me. Some of the things you've told me over
I've said many words, the
last 2 or 3 years that you say, I can't help but tell you, but I've got to tell you this. That's really low down the list. Yeah, a bit like your name on Google.
Yeah.
That's very low down. That's absolutely fine.
Jolly good. So one thing we didn't do in our last show, which you'll remember was normally our Christmas show.
All right.
It was an incredible thing that we failed to do, which you've never talked about on this podcast, is talk about The Little Drummer Boy.
Right.
Where David Bowie's Christmas song.
Mm.
And there's been a lot of stuff I've seen, obviously, about The Little Drummer Boy over the years. It is sort of incredible. I presume you've seen the Will Ferrell recreation.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
Which is amazing. Yeah, yeah, very funny.
What I do love about the Will Ferrell recreation, John C. Reilly, is, apart from at the very, very end, they just do it.
Right.
They do it word for word and shot for shot, which I think is designed to show how odd it is. They thought, we can't make this any odder by adding comedy. We'll just recreate it. Because particularly, I think, the idea that you know the world. You know, in it, Bowie arrives at Bing Crosby's door. If anyone doesn't know it and just knows the song, do go to YouTube and see it. Because Bowie knocks on a kind of castellated door. Castellated, is that a word?
Castellated?
The door is a...
Meaning...
Well, yeah, it's like a door to a castle. Not sure that's a word. So he knocks on an old door.
Castellated.
That might be a word. I'm checking that's a word. Hang on. Castellated.
I'm doing my house up. I tell you what I'd love.
Did you mean castellated? I don't think I did. Oh, no, having battlements. Sort of is, yeah.
I don't know if I'm being too grand in our kitchen, but could you do a castellated floor for me? I don't think that's a thing, is it?
Anyway, he knocks on old panel door.
Right.
And clearly the idea is, it's obviously a studio,
but
the idea is that Bing lives in an old country house in Britain. That seems to be the idea, because he's going on about, if you remember, an old aristocrat who lives down the road, when Bowie comes in.
Okay. And I can't remember.
Let's just play a bit of it. Let's just play the opening of The Little Drummer Boy, because it's very odd, the conversation that they have. I mean, all the conversations in the Little Drummer Boy video are odd, but particularly the stuff not about the music, because they sort of imply Bing's moved in to this castellated place, and down the road
a castle.
Down the road is David Beauchard and also David Bowie, and he's just popped round. I don't know why, for some sugar. So Bing is answering the castellated door. I mean, to be honest with you, if you actually watch it, so I've just noticed now, Bing's quite old. he started to move to the door before the doorbell.
Oh, God.
I mean, if I was the director, I would say, can we do that
again? So it's not a documentary? No. It's not real?
No, it's not real. But clearly they thought, well...
The time he takes, give him his cue early.
Well, Bing is just wandering around, but clearly he's moved towards the door before the
doorbell. That's a really sad way for it to end, isn't
it? Here we go.
Bing.
Open the car circuit door. There's David Bowie.
You the new butler?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been the new anything.
What's happened to Hudson?
I guess he's changing.
Yeah, he does that a lot, doesn't he? Oh, I'm David Bowie. I live down the road.
Oh.
Sir Percival lets me use his piano when he's not around. He's not around, is he?
I can honestly say I haven't seen him, but come on in.
Okay, so I think the conceit is this. He's not moved in, now that I see it again. He's staying at Sir Percival's.
Yes.
Yeah? And David lives down the road. So it is an English country house.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a very, very odd moment right at the top, which is, he says, is Hudson the butler, the new butler here?
Right.
Bing says, it's a long time since I've been described as a new anything. And then he says...
No, it's quite a good line.
Not really. And then he says he's changing or something. And it is a close-up of David.
Yeah.
He looks around and he says, yeah, he does that a lot.
Yes, yes, like, that's a very...
What?
Are we meant to
have a sense of who Hudson is and his changeability?
Also, I like the idea that he says he let Sir Percival, is it Sir Percival?
Sir Percival.
Lets me use his piano when he's not around.
Yeah.
So he's doing that weird sort of causality thing. Is he around? Because if the answer's no, I can therefore use his piano, which doesn't...
Well, except Bing says, I can honestly say I haven't seen him, which is also odd, because Bing is staying in his house.
Yes.
And Bing doesn't say, I saw him yesterday when... Yeah. As his friend, he let me in because I'm staying for Christmas.
Yes.
He looks around as if I have no idea who Sir Percival is or indeed how I got here.
Can I just intercede at this point, just for a bit of colour? Who do you think I'm describing? A remote and unloving martinet who physically and mentally abused his children.
David Beauregard.
Of Imperial College during his covalent bonding research project. No, Bing Crosby.
Oh, yes.
His children. He's famously... It's sort of interesting, this cosy scene. I mean, I can't remember where...
No, I believe Bing was a terrible man. A wife beater.
That's what the accusations are.
And all sorts of things, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know...
But Sir Percival was a forgiving man.
Yes, and also it's Christmas. Well, it isn't Christmas, but it is Christmas in the video. I just want to play a bit more of this to see if there's anything else about Sir Percival's house that we can ascertain from listening to a bit more of it.
Mm. Are you related to Sir Percival?
Well, distantly, yeah.
Oh, you're not the poor relation from America, right?
Gee, news sure travels fast, doesn't it? I'm Bing.
Oh, I'm pleased to meet you. You're the one that sings, right?
Well, right or wrong, I sing either way.
Oh, well, I sing too.
Oh, good. What kind of singing?
Now, you see, that's an interesting number of things going on there. So the idea is that Bing is a relation of Sir Percival.
Mm. Poor relation.
Poor relation, which he wasn't. He was an incredibly wealthy man. Mm. But I imagine he hoarded it from his wives and children.
Yeah, he certainly wasn't pleasant, was he? So, yes.
Yeah, but also, David says, you're the one who sings. He says, well, right or wrong, I sing either way. I didn't ask you that. You're not asking about the morality of singing.
No, I think he means sometimes well, sometimes whether I sing well or sing badly. Does he?
Well, that's a different thing. Say,
well, I'm saying that's the thing.
No, if you say, "Do you sing?" and then self-deprecatingly, if you were Bing Crosby, you might say,
"Right,
sometimes sing well, sometimes badly." I need not be the judge of that. Then I would have got it. But right or wrong, I sing either way. And considering that we've now found that he's
wrong.
Well, he's a wrong person, and who knows? Sometimes perhaps he was beating up his wives while singing.
To the tune of...
That would definitely be wrong singing.
Definitely wrong, but he sings anyway.
He sings anyway.
But I think also the notion that he's a distant relative of his...
Yeah,
it's
personal.
Obviously, it's an interesting relationship because he's still stays at his house, his castle.
Yeah, and at Christmas.
Right, and also David Bowie, one of his neighbours, has heard of him ahead of time.
Bing?
Yeah, but he said, are you the distant... Doesn't he say that? Are you the distant...
Yeah, but there's a kind of meta thing going on here, isn't there? Because when he says, you're the one who sings, hi, I'm Bing, right? There's a sense in which, well, we all know I'm Bing Crosby. And this is just a charade. But at the same time, they are playing up to an idea that, oh, right, you're the relative of Sir Percival, who's a bit of a singer.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But then Sir Percival kind of, I think, leaves the frame at this point.
Okay.
Well, mostly the contemporary stuff. Do you like modern music?
Oh, I think it's marvellous. Some of it really fine. But tell me, you ever listen to any of the older fellas?
Oh, yeah, sure. I like John Lennon and the other one with Harry Nilsson.
Ooh, you go back that far, huh?
Oh,
Yeah, I'm not as young as I look.
None of us is these days.
That's brilliant. So that would have been quite a funny thing to say. So he's basically, we're in 77, aren't we?
Yeah, 77.
So he's talking about what he would... Is the joke that those are very contemporary people? Because they're sort of not at that point.
The joke is, he says to him, do you ever listen to any of the old fellas? Yeah. The only old fellas Bowie can think of are John Lennon and Harry Nilsson, meaning that's what this young hip cat thinks is old. That's the joke.
But that's what I mean. So he's using... Why wouldn't he say the Sex Pistol? Yes. He's using
Well, let's not forget, this, I think, what was it on? Do we know what it was on? NBC?
It's good. Oh, I see. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, this was... Bowie did this because it was part of his bid for American Stardom.
Yeah.
And so one thing that's slightly weird about it is it's set in an old ancestral house, Sir Percival's, in Britain. But it is, in fact, going out in America.
Yeah.
On something like NBC, on the Bing Crosby show.
Yes. Also, being, as we know...
I don't think the Sex Pistols would have meant anything.
No, I see what you mean. Yeah, no, fair point. But being, as we know...
Mark Bolan, he could have said.
Yeah, although he wouldn't have meant anything in America.
Yes, so he went for John Lennon, would have done.
Of course.
And Harry Nilsson.
But not
Elvis. Well, this is what I suspect. Well, Elvis, I think, is too old.
Oh, I see what you mean, yes.
I suspect they might have even come to him, Bowie, with a list of artists and said, well, we've got this joke...
Yes.
Whereby you think that these people are old, and obviously it's but still very young for Bing. And Bowie said, well, I don't want to say REO Speedwagon. That's the wrong choice. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to choose people who I actually like.
Gotcha.
And then eventually they narrowed it down to John Lennon, the people in the Venn diagram of who our viewers will have heard of and that you actually like. Joke.
But also there's an undercurrent which we know to be true, which is Bing doesn't know who the hell David Bowie is. He's absolutely no idea.
No idea.
And I think it was quite frosty and quite difficult on set and all of that.
Well, actually, I've read about this. There are two different... Bowie initially says he liked him, and then later on he said he didn't.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think he found it sort of quite excruciating.
Yeah.
And yet, so they're sort of working quite well, aren't they, in the spirit of a... I mean, they've...
Well, they seem perfectly happy together. They're saying very weird stuff.
Really weird
stuff. It's such a weird thing. Yeah. I mean, we might as well play the end of it, but there's a bit that I've never seen before that I wanted to play you.
Yeah. 6-year-old son. And he really gets excited around the Christmas holiday thing.
Do you go in for any of the traditional things in the boy household, Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I've just noticed something there. What does he call him there?
Boy. Doesn't he?
I think Bing's got confused there because David says, I've got a 6-year-old boy. And I think that's just Bing's head. Do you go in for things in the boy household? Can we just hear that again?
There is a little moment before he says it, isn't there?
Yeah, he's forgotten who he is.
Do you go in for any of the traditional things in the boy household?
Yeah, definitely. No, he's, I mean, without any doubt, if you look at him at the time, he's also looking at him like, I don't know who he is.
It's totally what happened when you met me in Q that time, isn't it? Because you called me boy, and I thought, weird.
I said, you're with your boy. so in the boy household.
Presents, tree, decorations, agent sliding down the chimney.
What?
Yeah.
I was just seeing if you're paying attention.
So that's a joke as well.
Did you say
agent? That joke. Yes, it's a joke. So that's a similar joke. Agents sliding down the chimney.
That's quite a good joke. I mean, it's quite a good image.
Is it?
Well, as in the idea that he wants to get his attention, and so he's kind of come up with something slightly weird.
No, I don't think it's slightly weird.
He doesn't mean Asians.
No, definitely doesn't mean Asians.
Agents. I suppose it's showbiz. Like, two showbiz legends talking about each other.
I think that's the idea.
They won't leave you alone even on Christmas. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I would say it's a contest case. This is being written by people who should have been said, these jokes don't mean anything. Like, clearly you think they mean something.
No, but Bowie's... That's off the cuff, isn't it? They don't mean anything.
No.
Are you thinking...
It's all scripted.
Oh, it's all scripted. Okay, well, that is weird. No, if it's scripted, that's a terrible thing. There's so many things you could say.
Oh, no, it's all scripted.
Yeah.
Right. The whole thing is clearly scripted in a very weird way.
Yeah.
Shall I go on to show you the bit that people won't have seen? I think they won't have seen. I've never seen it before.
We can't play any of Little Drummer Boy because that would be terrible in late January.
That would be upsetting in late January. Okay, so...
Unless people accuse us of going too early for Christmas.
Do you want to...
Yeah.
Will you be able to actually...
Yeah, I'm walking over now.
What me and Tim are looking at now, because I didn't know this happened, is that Bowie, clearly this is part of the deal, had said, I'm going to sing Heroes as well.
I did, yes.
I didn't know that.
No, I knew that.
So he sings Heroes, right? So first of all, there's a very weird bit of chat between Bing and, I think, Twiggy introducing this.
Just as painful and just as beautiful as they ever were. Whether you're a novelist, poet, or even a songwriter,
It's all in the way you say it.
So he says to Twiggy, I have to show you something else, but
okay.
So stay here. He says to Twiggy, loneliness, just as painful and terrible and beautiful as it ever were, whether you're a novelist, a poet, or a songwriter, it's all in the way you say it. That's the intro to Heroes. And Twiggy goes,
Well, it sounds like we've come in mid-thought, though, doesn't it?
I think it is, but
it's quite a downer, isn't it?
It's quite a downer, but it turns a bit bigger downer. I would say David here is as beautiful as
he's
ever.
That's the best, I was going to say.
He looks unbelievable.
If anyone wants to look at that, that is the best book he's ever pulled off.
Except then something happens, right? And I'm going to show it to you, and then perhaps you might laugh at it.
Oh, God.
And then we can describe it afterwards, okay? So he's looking about as beautiful as he could possibly look, and then something happens, which I would say is an error of judgment.
I have seen it. Right, I hadn't put the two and two together. I have seen this. It is astonishing.
That David splits into two images of himself and then a third image of him in between does that thing of pretending that they're getting off with someone by turning their back and rubbing their hands across their back.
As if someone's embracing you or getting
As if you're snogging with someone. It's the joke of like, oh, I'm snogging with someone by turning your back and rubbing your hands across your shoulders. Yeah. That's what David does.
I mean, it's hard to... People should look at it. It's hard to stress how incredibly beautiful and cool he looks.
Unbelievable. He looks like a person from another planet.
It's that 77 thing. He's sort of beyond gender. He's beyond... And he does the sort of Benny Hill gag of I'm getting off with someone. I suppose, in his defence, it's hard to defend
him.
In defence,
he is very beautiful, and the gag is I'm getting off with myself.
Okay, well, I was going to say it's the two lovers. I mean, he's sort of illustrate. You know, it's the two lovers by the wall, right? But no, I mean, that's
is
not...
It? Oh, hang on, he's doing some mime.
What does he...
He then goes on to do some mime. So he does a thing whereby the two lovers have been spotted,
right.
And then he's doing I'm trapped in a glass box, which is also naff. Hang on. One thing that happened recently is that I met someone, Tim was there over dinner, who got off with David Bowie.
Sorry,
I'm not going to say who it is. Not that it would make much difference if you knew, because she's not a famous person, but a very nice woman.
But it was a private dinner.
It was a private dinner. I'm probably breaking some kind of confidence here, but I'm going to keep the identity of her fairly secret, although anyone who was there might know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it was very exciting, the conversation, because we often talk, don't we, about how, you know, degrees of separation between us and Bowie.
Yeah.
And about, you know, various people we know who have met him with our glancing acquaintances or whatever with him, but this was someone who actually got off with him, and so there's something very funny about it, which is Tim knows this, but I'm going to tell you listeners, which is this was mid-80s. She herself said it was around about the time he released Dancing in the Street with Mick Jagger. So not a great period really, but still, you know, beginners, some great work. And she'd met him on a kind of like glamorous, met him in a club in London or whatever.
Right.
And she had ended up going to the island, a Caribbean island, perhaps I won't say what it is, a Caribbean island with him and a bunch of other people, Mick Jagger and some slaves.
I think because you tell the truth all the time, you're being overly... You're
am assuming, I? Okay.
As in, I don't. I think okay, the island's fine.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, I think that's okay.
It was Mustique.
I don't think the mayor of Mustique will sue you for suing someone.
No, no.
I think that's okay.
So anyway, this woman, who was 16 at the time, probably would have been in his 40s, told me that her and her best friend, who were staying on some shack in the island, had one of many drinking and out-of-it nights with Bowie and Jagger and some locals or whatever it might be, ended up back at their shack with David, with this other woman, and with her. And she was very straightforward about it. She said David was clearly keen on a threesome, which, you know, let's be honest, I doubt that was the first threesome that David had tried to engineer.
No.
Although, or possibly him trying to engineer it is quite funny, because I imagine a lot of the time they just sort of happened for him.
Yeah,
but this time, because he was on an island in a shack, he had to kind of suggest it.
Had to put some work in.
Yeah, he had to put some work into the creation there. So the way he did this, according to her, which is unbelievably hilarious, was to take all his clothes off, to put on Let's Dance, which they had on a cassette and played on a cassette player, and dance naked.
Absolutely
to Let's Dance,
yeah,
which I think is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
I mean, and whenever you or I have tried that, it gets us nowhere.
Well,
right?
Here we go. That's the point. If I'd said that at any point, suggested or even done it, if I'd danced to Three Lions naked in an attempt to cop off with someone, I would have been arrested or certainly booted out of the hotel room very quickly. It worked for David. According to her, they both got naked. She didn't sleep with David. She was very keen to tell me that.
Yeah.
And perhaps we can talk about that, because she was... We'll talk about that in a minute.
That's
Let's just
young.
Park that.
Yeah,
well, she was young, but that's not the point. I think her friend did. Her friend did. The threesome never quite happened. But the dancing, which... I mean, let's be honest, what have you got in your mind now?
Well, the thing I'm genuinely struggling with is I find, despite its title, how do you dance to Let's Dance?
It's quite ploddy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's just play a tiny bit of it. And I promise you, I think everyone will have the same image in their mind.
It's not a dance track.
Well, yeah. But also, is it a track that one's penis will look good swinging about to? I mean, were his clothes off already at this point?
I think the face you could do at this point would be great. Just a sort of big grin and a big... Yeah.
I think you could imagine it swinging... You can imagine
it,
by which I mean David Bowie's penis. I'm sorry.
No, let's be clear.
Swinging, like to each of these.
I mean,
there's
no way it's not incredibly comical.
Yeah. I think actually it's almost perfect for naked dancing. Take off your red shoes, David, and everything else.
That.
So then what happened was, let me just tell you the end of the story. She decided, I don't want to sleep with David. I don't want to lose my virginity to David, she decided. And she went outside. She said she got bitten very badly by mosquitoes.
Right.
And I do really like this bit as well. David did shag the friend and then came out and then tried to make it all right with her.
I didn't hear. Okay.
Yeah, because she was a bit pissed off.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was like, no, I don't want to do this. And David was cool about that.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. David was there was no element of coercion. David said, okay. But because it was her shack, it wasn't David's shack.
Oh, I see.
That she was sleeping in.
Yes.
She didn't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
And didn't want to be in the room while he got off with the other one. So she just went and sat on the porch, got bitten by mosquitoes. And when David came out, slightly shamefaced, satiated.
Still naked?
No, I think probably he put his clothes, at least his trousers on by then. I presume she'd put something
fully
on.
Fully clothed and he put all the Mad Men on. He went into a sort of slight downer.
Hopefully nothing from the 80s. That would have been even worse if he'd put
naked
on...
Naked and Never Let Me Down.
Never Let Me Down. Well, I think David had slightly let her down at this point. And then he sat on the porch for a bit, trying to sort of...
Really?
Say,
just pretend it...
Pretending, well, you know, just small talk, normal. Everything's fine, yeah. But I'm going to ask a question of you now, which I think is very illustrative of the differences between men and women, which is, she told me all this story, and then she did say this thing, if I didn't want to just lose my virginity to David Bowie. And what do you think I said to that?
Why not?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just said it straight away.
Yeah.
Why on earth would you not want to lose your virginity to David Bowie? And it was straight... And she just, in this very female way... Just said, well, it wouldn't have meant anything to him. Probably true.
True.
You know, I didn't want to just like do that for him just one night. And I just said, yeah, but it's David Bowie. And also the story. As far as I'm concerned, like, what about the lore yes. of the story. The fact yes. that in, I mean, it's quite a good story anyway. Yeah. So that's
no,
good.
No, it's definitely. But she's young. I mean, she's underage.
She's not underage. She's 16.
Don't you need to get your parents round to say...
I don't think so.
Don't worry about the fact he's dancing. Is it okay? No, is that not... I can't remember.
I don't need to get your parents round, no.
But nonetheless, okay, she's young.
She's above the age of consent, but yes, she's young and she's...
The question is what she would have... You know, when you say David... I mean, I don't know what he would have meant to her, because at 16...
I think he meant quite a lot, although he was a friend. She was very keen to say he was a friend
right,
of hers.
Right,
So there is that.
Yeah.
But you know, she had copped off with him. There yes. She got naked. There was sexual goings on. She just didn't want to have intercourse with him. And that might just be just the way his penis moved during Let's Dance.
I mean, it is an odd song to choose, I would say, because...
I don't know, is it? I mean, if Bowie said, "Hey, let's dance,"
yeah,
which presumably he did say at some point,
but then it just keeps saying it. I think it's not.
Perhaps it was a mix-up. Perhaps what he said was took his clothes off and said, "Let's dance," and they thought, oh, "Okay, I've got it here somewhere."
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely better than all the Mad Men, as we said. Or yeah, I mean, they could have Bewley Brothers, or something.
Or Memory of a Free Festival would have gone on too long.
I don't know. Yeah, too long.
Would have been too long.
But I think it is one of those songs that...
Wild Eyed Boy from Free Cloud.
Yeah.
Although that could be a description of his penis.
I mean, in a way, there aren't many. If you think about a Bowie seduction...
I thought that would get a bigger laugh.
Oh, sorry. I was thinking...
Wild Eyed Boy from Free Cloud could be a description of his penis.
In the boy household. No, yeah. I get that. I'm trying to think, is there a... If you're looking for Bowie... sort of seduction. So I was watching something last night and had Roxy Music playing on it. Yes. I was thinking, Roxy Music is very seductive music. The later
80s. What would you put
stuff.
On to seduce?
But I'm trying to think, did he do, would he do those sorts of songs? I suppose, I can't
Wild
think.
Wild is the Wind. Although he didn't
write
Wild is the Wind.
That's more beautiful. It's not very
sort of.
Did
he write Wild is the Wind?
No, it was written by, it's like a Polish song or something like that, but he didn't write it. Something like that.
It's a Polish song. Wild is the Wind.
It's like an East European,
Wild
isn't
is
it?
The Wind. That's my Polish, by the way. That's my Polish impression.
But there aren't many, something off Young Americans, but they're sort of more love songs. There's not sort of, he didn't do a sort of, Do You Think I'm Sexy, did he? Song.
Thank
do you know what
God.
I mean? He didn't do, he didn't do those sort of rock star song like that.
Wild is the Wind is a song written by Dmitri Toynkin and Ned Washington.
Okay.
Does that make him Polish?
No, I don't think it necessarily.
Russian. He was Russian.
Okay.
Born.
Right.
But I think I think he came to America and wrote it because it was written by Johnny Mathis for the 1957 film Wild Is the Wind.
Because Nina Simone did a version, didn't she? So that's
she did. In my
mind, that was the first one. So okay, so it was Johnny Mathis.
I had no idea that there was a film called Wild Is the Wind.
No, I didn't know that.
That's interesting.
It's hard to find a seductive
Bowie
song. So maybe let's start. Let's start.
Let's spend the night together. But that's not written by him either.
But if you heard that, that's not. It's quite full on, it's quite rock, so.
Yeah, but that is a seductive song. It includes the lyrics, let's spend the night together.
No, I suppose it depends if you think it's literally, but it doesn't feel very seductive.
Well, it's not a smooth, slinky song.
It's not sort of Barry
White.
But
it's got the urgency
yes.
still.
Yeah.
But actually, Bowie's version is not, the Jagger version is much more like that.
Yes, that's true, Yeah.
I don't think there's any male equivalent of that.
Of what?
I was wondering what the male... Well, because as a bloke, when you're 16, you just want to lose your virginity anyway.
Oh, I see.
So the idea of Cher. Bad example. Joni Mitchell coming up to me when I was 16. And
I see what you mean.
Taking all her clothes off and dancing. When I was 16, it would have been more like Toya or someone like that. Who would I have actually fancied?
I'll tell you who I really, really fancy. Well, that's not quite... she did do some songs. And I really liked the songs.
Maggie Philbin.
Not Maggie Philbin. She didn't do any songs.
She did, actually.
Did she?
Oh, God, yes. Maggie Philbin.
Maggie Philbin did...
Maggie Philbin, who Bella will never have heard of.
Are you not thinking of...
Maggie Philbin did one song.
Okay.
She was married to Keith Chegwin, and she did
Chegwin, you say?
Keith Chegwin.
Right.
One song called I Wanna Be a Winner, which was a sort of novelty song, I think, based on a show that they were doing at the time. Here is Brown Sauce, which was Maggie Philbin's band...
Wow.
Made just for this single. Here we go.
Oh, that's good knowledge.
Be like Superman through the air. Don't want to join Claire Francis in the rigging.
Don't want to join Claire Francis in the rigging.
Oh,
I don't want to put a black with Hurricane Higgins.
What does she want to say? What she doesn't want to do?
Be Bishop or an imported parson. Don't want to hit Jeff Buck up the floor.
It's very sport based. That's Noel.
I mean,
I mean, it's marvellous. I think it's less a single, more a moment in Question of Sport. I can imagine Question of Sport saying, can you name all the sportsmen they refer to in this song?
What's interesting about it is that she's basically listing an entire... She doesn't want to be this entire list of winners.
No.
Every single person she says is a winner, and then she says, I just want to be a winner. So what does she mean, I want to be a winner?
That's absolutely right.
What?
It doesn't mean
anything. Give us a specific example.
I don't want to be a winner like all these winners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense,
does it? Yeah, you're asking a question, which is a very good question, but I think the answer is it was the early 80s. Someone gave Maggie Philbin and Keith Chegwin and Noel Edmonds a novelty single, and they didn't question the logic.
This would be a testament to how attractive and how much sort of sexual power Bowie has. If he danced naked to that...
Yeah, that would be amazing.
You'd still get off
with
him, wouldn't
you? I just want to be a winner.
I mean, in a way, that's a bit more, okay, yeah. David. Wow, now I get it.
Is this what you mean by a sexy,
you
seducing
song? You don't just
want
to dance. Yeah.
You were going to mention a woman who, when you were 16...
Oh, yeah, no, I really had a thing for Tracy Ullman.
Right, really?
And
wow.
Tracy Ullman had a couple of singles out.
Yes,
remember?
She did.
You know, and I really liked, they were kind of like 50s. They were like...
I don't know what they were like. They were like Kirsty MacColl kind of
Well,
thing.
One of them is a song that Kirsty MacColl did, They Don't Know About Us.
They Don't Know About
Us. I love that song.
And Tracy Ullman does that.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, actually, there's loads and loads.
Yeah.
She's done loads of songs.
And I really... And I remember...
They Don't Know? Is that the one you mean?
Yes. I love that song.
Yeah, here she is.
I think that's a really good song. I don't know who wrote it.
It's written by Kirsty MacColl.
Is it?
That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah, I love that song.
Should we play a bit of it?
Yeah.
Lovely song.
It's a really lovely song. It's kind of slightly Phil Spector-y.
Well, she's doing it on this Top of the Pops, a bit like she's in the Shirelles.
So I mean, but I don't think I would have thought about having sexual congress with her. I just think I was just slightly in love. You know, I was in love with her and really sort of just really fancied her. And
rather oddly, I've just been asked by The Guardian
to have sexual congress with her.
Yeah, no, to do a piece. Apparently, they're doing a piece about teenage crushes, and they wanted to ask people who are no longer in their teens what their teenage crushes were.
Okay.
And I was trying to remember, and that what did happen with me is that I got very into Marilyn Monroe. But then it became a bit weird because my mum, as you may know this about me, like with the Billy Bunter books, if I expressed an interest in anything, my mum would completely go over the top and buy loads and loads from old bookshops or whatever, thinking, oh, this is David's thing. My mum always did that. You say one thing once, and my mum would think, oh, that's their thing, and that would then buy you presents or steal things from charity shops, which she often did a lot, and give them to you. Right?
Steal them from charity shops?
Well, she used to work in a charity shop in Harrow, and when we had kids... would just bring us stuff that I knew she'd just taken from the charity shop, partly because I would often have to disinfect it because it looked like it had meningitis or something. Right? So, yeah.
So what did she get you from Alimon?
So when I once, I can't remember, but presumably I did, as she's a very attractive woman, but not really of my generation. Mm. And then I remember for about 5 years, she would just get, well, more than that, I mean, till I was... in my 40s, would get me Marilyn Monroe memorabilia. And I had in my room at home lots of black and white pictures of Marilyn Monroe up on the walls. But not entirely because I was obsessed with Marilyn Monroe, just because that's what my mum had bought me. Mm. I mean, I did find her attractive, but it's mixed in my mind with classical music and a number of other things that my mum decided I should like Billy Bunter. and that I just went along with it.
How interesting. To the David Bowie dancing to his own track...
Yes.
Have we said this, that we were at a party before Christmas and Ian Brown was there?
Yes.
Have we said this on the podcast?
We haven't. I can't remember.
But Ian Brown of the Stone Roses was there and I went a bit sort of...
You got a bit excited.
I got a bit excited.
Yes.
And I got introduced... I didn't ask to be introduced to him, but someone said, oh, this is... what's your name again? Because it was you.
Yeah.
this is Tim.
I thought you'd forgotten your name there for a second.
This is... boy. We chatted away and he didn't quite do this. He was really lovely. He didn't quite do the thing about the Stone Roses was this, you know, but
do the accent, go on. I know you wanted to. Was that it?
Yeah.
Do the Mancunian accent.
The thing about
accent.
The Stone Roses, he basically introduced the Stone Roses quite quickly, including saying, and we had this thing on the second album where we had a big legal case. I'm thinking, all of this.
I think we know that.
So it was really nice. And then I went to some other bit of the party. And when I came back, Fool's Gold was playing. And I thought, oh, mad, someone's put Fool's Gold on. And there he was in the middle of it. And he sort of came up to me and said, referenced it. And I said, you know, who'd have thought? He said, I put this on. And he'd put Fool's Gold on. with himself. He didn't get naked and try to seduce me.
No, I wish he had.
But he, again, is so... There might be an interesting thread of sort of stars who put their own tracks on it. I mean, if anyone's ever been in it, they should tell us on Twitter. If they've ever been with a star who's got their own track
We've talked about Paul McCartney playing his music. Right. We know that he played Lady Madonna when Ricky was round.
Yes.
And Stephen Merchant told a story about how Bruce Springsteen nearly played Thunder Road.
Yes.
But then the guitar was taken away for some ridiculous reason. But putting stuff on because actually being with a big rock star in some private-ish circumstance and then playing a song feels to me slightly less naff than putting it on.
Yes.
Yeah. Although actually with Ian Brown, I think that's kind of cool.
He did it very naturally.
Did he do the monkey dancing?
I kept saying, do the monkey dance.
Yeah.
He didn't do that. But he did reference Tracy McCloud.
Oh, really? Not Tracy Ullman?
Not Tracy Ullman. I kept referencing Tracy Ullman. And he said, no, I'll tell you another Tracy. Tracy McCloud, who, as people know, was presenting as obviously a friend of yours.
He's
and
a very
friend
close friend of mine.
And did the Late Show.
I know. Shall we just get that up?
Famously,
that is brilliant.
Introduced the Stone Roses and it all went wrong and the electricity went and she carried on brilliantly.
Let's just play that, because I think even the sound of it, you don't know it.
But the point
will be brilliant.
I said I knew Tracy. Somehow it came up, and he said, "Will you say sorry to her? I haven't seen her since."
Oh my God, really?
Will you say sorry? And I saw Tracy during the Christmas holidays, and I said, "Ian Brown says sorry." You know, I felt like I was.
What a thing!
Yeah, I was part of.
Was Tracy touched or moved?
Yeah, but she's lovely, Tracy.
Yeah,
and so
she's
said
fantastic.
She actually said she'd bumped into him somewhere, but he certainly didn't say sorry. But she indeed hadn't really seen him since.
Perhaps
then.
He was doing the monkey dance. That's why they
I think
bumped
he was doing
into
the
each
monkey
other.
Dance.
He doesn't often see very well.
Said he was naked and dancing around.
But I think we should just play a tiny bit of that, possibly to go out on.
Yeah,
because it is so amazing. I can't remember how long it takes for the power cut to happen.
It takes a little while.
Okay,
actually,
so let them play. What they're playing? She bangs the drums. I think it's She Bangs the Drums.
Okay, yeah, I can't.
The power cut happens. I mean, an extraordinary thing, by the way. I mean, you know, you're more involved, a tiny bit more, I would say, in the technical side. You're not a Sparks.
I'm definitely not.
No, you're not a gaffer.
No,
but you're, I would
or
say
a bum crack.
No, but you're a tiny bit more involved in the technical side of broadcasting television
tiny.
Than me. I mean, not much. But a power cut, it's not something that happens very often on television. But here is it. Here's one happening.
It doesn't.
The Stone Roses and
PBC TV
one of
Center.
My best and closest friends has to, and a friend of yours, has to hold the fort, and this is what happens.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it's the Stone Roses.
Well, I'm sorry about that.
Here comes
Looks
Tracy.
Like we've had a power shortage or something, so we'll move on to the next item. And they ask you to come and let me Martin Parr is one of Britain's leading photographers, known for his innovative colour work and for creating a new school of British documentary photography.
Let me get amateurs.
We'll do it. We'll sort it out in a minute. His latest book,
Tracy.
The Cost of Living, chronicles how the comfortable classes spend their time and money. But like some of his previous work, the latest...
What I love about it, should we get amateurs?
Rather than making social commentary...
Amateurs!
He has already agreed to take two of the photographs out of his current exhibition.
What I love about it...
it's amazing.
What I actually love about it, particularly knowing Tracy as I do, who I think he's trying not to laugh, is, of all programmes, the fact that they have to go on to that. They have to go on to something incredibly sedate and late show.
Yeah.
Martin Parr, the photographer. He is just prowling around behind her.
And
they haven't got a camera to move to. It's not like...
No. And also, obviously live, what you've done, live telly is scary, and Tracy powers on through. But I do think being accused of being an amateur by Stone Roses is quite a moment, isn't it?
Because
they weren't exactly...
I mean, actually, if you listen to it before the power cut... I would say it's pretty
amateur. It was always controversial with the stories as to how...
It's pretty shambling, but we should perhaps end there.
But he wanted to say sorry. That's lovely, isn't it?
That's the thing I want to end on.
And I passed that on to Tracy.
Yeah, it's that you passed that on to Tracy and,
amazing.
Maybe we should bring them together.
Yes.
Tracy and Ian Brown on this show, do you think?
Yeah. And I tell you who would be... I mean, you and I are pretty good at making things like that happen, but I tell you who we could definitely get to help broach that is Lord Percival.
Yes.
Is it Lord Percival?
I think it's Sir Percival, isn't it?
No, you haven't heard. Since
has
then,
he got
because that was a long time ago. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
One thing about Peter's Shed, by the way, is I think Blink and it could be a shack in Mustique.
I really hope not for my sake.
Here we
go. You start playing less.
I'm afraid I'm playing it. I'm playing it.
It's a no.
I just want the listeners to imagine
it's
what's going
a no.
on there.
However good you look, and you look fantastic right
Jim,
now.
I can do it. I can swing it to the beach.
Get that thing out of my face.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.